This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good Monday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny, March 10th, 2025. You are listening live. We've got Caps tickets we'll give away ahead of the Blitz at 4 o'clock. But head on a swivel here. We will be breaking down the first day of free agency in the National Football League legal tampering, which just means it's the day that free agency kicks off. Lots of news all over the NFL, including the Washington Commanders making their first splash today, going out and getting defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw, turns 28 in October. He's a 27-year-old coming off of his fifth NFL season. Adam Peters was in San Francisco when Kinlaw was drafted 14th overall by the 49ers back in the pandemic year in 2020. And if we're being frank, he's been a disappointment since then. On to his second team last year with the Jets, a career-high 4.5 sacks, a career-high 5 tackles for loss, and the second-best season in his career in terms of hits on the quarterback with 5. This is not a guy that puts up pass-rushing counting stats. The grades for him against the run have not been overly favorable. But obviously, Peters, by giving him 3 years and $45 million, 15 per, basically guaranteeing him the first 2 years of this deal at $30 million, obviously, Peters thinks that there's more in the tank for this 27-year-old than what he's put on his Pro Football Reference page.
Yeah, three things super quick. Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on free agency day? That's number one.
Day.
Number two, Ovi scored again. 8 away of tying. Single digits. It's happening. Third, this is one of those you got to really stretch and go benefit of the doubt here. Peters knows better than all of us, obviously. Scouted, drafted, familiar with his work for the beginning of his career for several years. Saw an awful lot. What went in on a daily basis in terms of training, dedication, etc. Because the numbers haven't been there, the grades haven't been there, the impact on games, talking about Kinlaw now, simply hasn't been there. So what you're doing is you're betting big that it will be. Because that's not top of the market money. I mean, the money is not quite, NBA ridiculous, where if you've dribbled the basketball 3 consecutive times, you're now a $35 million dude. But the money's flying here. Guys are getting paid. We'll go through all these different signings. But for Washington, this is a betting big to me, at least betting medium, that he will outproduce dramatically what John Allen would have given you at a little bit more of a salary cap hit. I don't know that I feel that way, to be honest with you. Just calling balls and strikes here, I'm not as confident that they're going to get a lot out of Javon Kinlaw.
Well, they just made Javon Kinlaw the 19th highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL at 15 per year. They also have, I believe, the 8th or 9th highest paid player right now in Daron Payne at $22.5 million per year at D-tackle. But presuming that Payne is going to be on the roster and starting for them, and there's no reason after they moved on from Allen that you wouldn't anticipate that, Payne is 28. You lock him in Sharpie. They drafted Johnny Newton just outside of the first round last year in the top 40 at 36 overall. You would have thought he would have been starting, but you're not bringing in Kinlaw to not play him a ton. And I know that the D-tackle position is one where there is a rotation. Here's how I feel about this. Kinlaw has to be able to stop the run or else this will not work. If he can help you against the run, then this can absolutely be a win. If that's not going to be a strength, if he's going to be a liability, which at times, according to the PFF grade in San Francisco, he was, then I don't really understand this, because he's not going to be an elite pass rushing D tackle. And I actually think you have two guys that you pay to do that already. In Payne's case, a lot of money. And in Newton's case, that's largely why you drafted him, to be a disruptor, to be a guy that gets up the field and pushes the pocket and collapses the interior. That's what he was at Illinois. Javon Kinlaw doesn't really put up those kind of pass rushing numbers to make you think that that's what he is. But obviously they think he can help make them better against the run. Danny, last year they were 28th in yards per play against the run. 28th of 32 teams. And since then, they have released D-tackle John Allen. And while I loved bringing Bobby Wagner back and I viewed it as the right thing to do, he is getting a year older, was already not fast laterally sideline to sideline. So you got older at Mike linebacker, and you didn't bring one of your better D-tackles back for a team that was bottom five stop in the run. So you had to do something up the middle. This was that something to kick off free agency. They clearly know it's a problem. The question is just, and you give them the benefit of the doubt because they were awesome last year at a lot of the moves they made, especially in free agency, but do they know better than a lot of the people that have covered him in San Fran and New York and in those two teams where basically they're saying, yeah, I'm not so sure this guy's the run stuffer that you want him to be. But that's what this has to be for me to make this make sense.
There's got
to
be a schematic fit that people aren't thinking about. There's got to be some sort of skill set that makes sense in their one-gap scheme that he wasn't doing in other places. Again, this is one of those where there's a reason I'm not making these decisions, and I should, and I'm not qualified to, and most of us aren't, obviously. But when you look at it on paper and the data that we have access to, you'd go, I don't really see this one. I don't really get this one. This is not the... Here's our first order of business, establishing what we're looking for, right? I mean, the instant the clock strikes noon and everybody starts going fast and furious, you see what the priorities are. When Carlton Davis gets signed, one of the best cornerbacks on the market, that's where we needed to upgrade. That was our first priority. This is their first order of business. Doesn't mean they weren't calling other guys,
right?
But they're going, we're getting this one done. We're going to show you, like, this is our mission statement. Whoa, I don't know. This is one of those... Maybe if you waited around, you could have gotten a little bit cheaper or not at all. And I think you probably could have found another Kinlaw somewhere else for not as much, just given what he's done or hasn't done in this league.
I'm even willing to admit that this is a fault of mine. I don't necessarily think this is a good thing all the time, but I will never get upset with money spent on football players that have a chance to make you a lot better. Like day one, day two of free agency, you can make big mistakes. You can give out bad contracts that are costly because that money could have gone elsewhere. And that's why I say about this move, I'm whelmed. Like, I like it okay. I do not love it. To me, on a 1 to 10, this is like a 4.7 in the sense that I would probably not have done it, just barely. But I'm also never going to get upset about adding to the trenches. In this division with Philadelphia, seeing what we just saw in the Eagles stretch run and in the Super Bowl, I don't think you can have enough quality defensive linemen. I don't think you can have enough good offensive linemen. So I'm just not going to get upset at throwing money at either front, ever, necessarily. But I am very curious about this. Like, I want to know what I don't understand. And that's what I would like to ask them if we had a chance to. Mm-hmm. They're way too busy trying to add more football players, so they're not going to be answering that question anytime soon for us. But when I look up any of the grades that are available on various sites, including PFF, and that's not the end-all be-all, the run stuffing numbers are not particularly good in terms of how he was evaluated. And that was part of the knock in San Francisco. I do think he played the best football of his career last year with the Jets. That's pretty obvious when you look at 4.5 sacks and the tackles for loss. Still not impressive. The quarterback hits. These are not big numbers. We're talking about 5 all year in 17 games. But it was the best he'd been statistically. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's interesting to them. But they love guys that they know. This has been very clear since last year. There are players that came here for Anthony Lynn. See Austin Ekeler in the backfield. There are players who came here from Ken Norton. See Bobby Wagner. There's a slew of guys that came here from Dallas. See Dante Fowler and Tyler Biadasz and Dorrance Armstrong because of Dan Quinn. Adam Peters has a type, too. He went and got Deebo Samuel. Now the next big move is Javon Kinlaw. These are guys he helped acquire in San Francisco. That's part of this is that, to your point, they know the guy, and I think they bet on the character and the player doing what they need him to do.
So I want to be clear. I don't hate this. I'm not, like, angry. This isn't, a Rivera-level signing or a bit of ineptitude. I'm not saying that at all. This is one of those – I think I would say I'm in a similar boat to you here, Jeeps, where I'm kind of scratching my head going – they've got to know something that we don't. Because there's just me as a you know, rudimentary observer, reading the same things and watching the same things and refreshing Twitter every 7 seconds, looking at NFL Network or whatever's got a tracker going on, I go, this is not the one that makes the most intuitive sense. Like, there are players, for example, like once DJ Reed went and once Carlton Davis is gone, I'm sitting there going, announce Charvarius Ward. Like, give me that. Like, that's a priority. Let's get that done. What they did is kind of reshuffled their defensive tackle room a little bit. You swapped out John Allen, saved about $16 million. You're going to pay $30 million guaranteed, basically $15 million per over the next two seasons to Javon Kinlaw. That's kind of about a one-for-one swap there, as close as you can get it with the new salary cap rules.
Right.
You know? And so how much different is Kinlaw than Allen? I mean, I think that's a very fair question. I don't know the answer to that. They do, but I'm not sitting here upset. I'm just kind of going, I don't quite get this one just
yet. Well, he's not better. I can promise you that. But he's 27 and Allen's 30.
Yeah.
That's, to me, worthwhile. If you can get younger and cheaper most of the time, I would rather do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a one-year deal. You know, this was finally an investment, and it's kind of what I've been asking for, which is give me some multi-year splashes. Again, just a curious selection, but in the same way that when they acquired Deebo Samuel and there were some detractors, one of the things I said was, well, I'm not one of these guys that's just going to sit here every time they make a move and say, Adam Peters knows best. I'm not going to question him. I think Peters has more info on Deebo than any other GM that could have acquired him.
No question.
The folder that they have on that guy to go through in their boardroom is bigger than anybody else's. I would say the same thing about Javon Kinlaw, who he was around for four seasons, who he helped to draft in the top 15 of his draft class. That's another thing. I mean, yes, it has not worked, but I always kind of like and the Nats are big on this with Mike Rizzo, top of the board draft pick with the physical traits and mm-hmm. the tools. He's also massive. I mean, if you're 6'5 and 320, I don't think people know how big he is because last year he wore the number 54, which was an outrage, and I hope he doesn't do that again. I guess he can't hear because of Bobby Wagner, thank God. But you know this, Danny. Defensive linemen should not wear numbers in the 50s. You agree with me on that?
They can wear whatever, but I...
But other than that, you know that D-linemen right. should wear numbers in the 90s.
Yeah, I think the 50s, 60s, 70s, single digits, like whatever makes you happy.
If you weigh 319 pounds, you should not wear number 54. That's all I'm saying. Mm. And I think people maybe don't understand how big he is because of the numbers.
Because they got confused.
I'm not doing a bit. Yeah. Like, when you see a guy that's 54, you probably don't think of a dude who can be over top of the center as a smart car. But, man, I hope they're right. They got to stop the run.
Yeah, they need to be. I mean, that's the gig, though, right?
I said last week when they released Allen, I bet you they go get a pretty good defensive tackle. I just thought it was going to be a world eater like a Milton Williams, who just found a new home, by the way. We should let people know that the Eagles have lost one of their best free agents. How about this? The New England Patriots are signing Milton Williams to a contract worth $26 million yeah. per year.
There you go.
$26 million.
Dude, the money's flying. B, that's that Super Bowl shine, right?
It definitely is. I will say that he was so good in the NFC Championship game. Now, they don't have this money or don't want to spend that kind of money. I understand that. But he's only 25 years old. His first chance to get paid after four seasons. This guy, believe it or not, was a third-round pick. He doesn't play like it. I came away from the NFC title game desperate to sign him. He was more impactful in that game than Jalen Carter or anybody else. He was so damn good. $26 million a year, though, Danny.
Yeah.
Who is this guy, Myles Garrett? I guess he's getting 40 now. But, my God.
Yes.
This is a player's market. Day one of free agency is always monopoly money.
Mm-hmm.
It's always just throwing cash around like there's no budgets and nobody cares. But there are fewer quality free agents hitting the market than almost ever before. Because as the cap keeps exploding, teams have more money than maybe they planned on. Again, this year the cap went up another $20+ million. And so what happens is you keep finding cash that you weren't planning on having, and then you sign your own guys before they leave. So more players are signing 4 or 5 years into their career at 26 and 27 instead of hitting free agency, which means fewer of the young ascending star players hit the market. So free agency is getting a little older, closer to 30 years old on the second contract now, or guys that have been released generally because of some baggage in that contract. And so what it means is the market gets watered down, less talent in free agency, and when there is a guy you really like, They get way more money, like Milton Williams. This market is a show today.
To your point, this is quick and dirty math. I may have missed a name or a number, but to illustrate this, top 25 free agents that have been signed so far, five guys are under 27 years old.
Yep.
It's just telling you the story. It's a lot of 30. It's a lot of 29. A couple guys, you know, whether it's Devontae Adams or Morgan Moses, who just got paid. He's 34.
How old is he now?
34,
I
believe.
Is he 35
almost? Yeah, he's in that ballpark. So
man.
Hassan Reddick is 30. I mean, that's what's happening right now is the premium. My guy came out of school in the normal course of events, 21, 22, maybe 23 years old, spent his 4 years. Now he's a free agent. That's not happening. By and large, it's like it's now the fifth year option or somebody signed a prove it deal. The free agent crop at most positions, there's a few that have some depth to it. Cornerback is one. So I've got my eye on that market. But for the most part, it's a handful of guys that are in their still athletic prime, typically for a position in their mid to upper 20s. For the most part, you're now looking at upper 20s, third contract guys or otherwise. But to your point, it is a player's market because of that.
This is going to sound foolish at first, I will readily admit that, but this is probably not the best year to have a ton of money because the market is suppressed and the guys that are going to hit the market are going to get overpaid. Like the Patriots, as an example, have all of the money, one of the couple of teams that has more money than Washington, and so they went out and gave a bunch of money to Robert Spillane as an off-ball linebacker, and they're bringing in okay little players, but they're paying them huge. Carlton Davis, the corner they brought in, really, really good player. Former Buck who was in Detroit last year. They gave him $20 million a year to be their new corner. Milton Williams, $26 million a year. And in Washington's case, we've seen now the one big move they've made is Javon Kinlaw at 15 per. So 3 years, $45 million, guaranteeing him $30 million up front, according to reports. Anything that breaks, we'll have it for you here on The Fan First. We're going to be keeping you abreast of everything going on, and with Twitter down, there's really nowhere else to get the access this quickly. So we will keep you up to date on NFL free agency today. If you want to react to the Kinlaw move, 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067. If you want to discuss the one big move Washington's made before this afternoon and free agency began, they beat the clock to get a one-year deal done with Tressway for a couple million bucks. So the punter is back. They have re-signed John Bates, their tight end, who's a quality blocker up front, to a three-year deal. Interestingly, Jeremy Chinn did hit the market, and the report today is that he's got a fairly robust market right now. Several teams vying for his services, so we'll see how that works out. Jonathan Allen, I saw, is meeting with the Minnesota Vikings in Minneapolis, so that'll be the first stop he makes. He's going to be sought after a pretty solid eight-year run in D.C.
Without question, yeah. I mean, missed some time, a little bit fresh, you would think. And what he did coming back and how well he played after the injury, I think made him some money.
800-636-1067 is the number. You're listening to Grant and Danny. It is Free Agency Die on The Fan.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Toby for the update. Welcome back. We're Grant and Danny. It's NFL Free Agency Day. We will be live and local deep into the evening here on The Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30. As Commanders or NFL news breaks, we will have it first. So keep it locked in right here to Grant and Danny. Moments ago, Sam Darnold got a 3-year contract to go to Seattle. He's going to be the starting quarterback for the Seahawks. Looks like $100+ million for Darnold. I'm curious to see what the guaranteed money is there for him, but they traded Geno Smith away. They have also traded DK Metcalf away over the weekend. Metcalf to Pittsburgh. The Steelers subsequently gave him a massive 5-year, $150 million extension. So not only if you were in the market of saying, well, they should have gotten DK, not Debo. Well, you had to give up a second rounder instead of a fifth, and then pay him $30 million a year in an extension instead of 1 year and $18 million for Debo.
A little bit more practical, right?
Having said that, Sam Darnold's the starting quarterback in Seattle. This is what this tells me. They traded Geno knowing this was already in place. You don't trade your quarterback, get into the Sam Howell market potentially, and deal with him as your starter if you don't have a plan.
Some degree of certainty there, right?
This is legal tampering. Theoretically, at noon, that's the first time teams started talking to agents of guys that weren't their own. That's poppycock. That's not really how it works. I guarantee you that Seattle had a pretty good idea that this is the deal they were going to sign with Darnold when they traded Geno.
Garofolo says 3 years, 100.5 with $55 million guaranteed and $37.5 million in year one. So that kind of tells you they are sort of rearranging deck chairs there. No Geno, but yes, Darnold. So that's the kind of this new tier of it's not a bridge quarterback, it's not your Mariota tier, it's not your we'll do Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. It's better than that, but it's still not elite starter money.
Well,
right?
For a long time, I don't think there was a middle class with quarterbacks, and we've started to establish one with guys that put up good numbers and play well enough that they need to be paid in that Daniel Jones bucket, right? But if we all know when we look at them, we really know. Yeah, they might have played well, but they're not that good.
Yeah, we know.
See Sam Darnold. Then you're in the middle tier all of a sudden, that middle class, so to speak. But if you're Seattle, I still don't really get what they're doing. They were 10-7. It seems like they're going to take a step back to try to take two forward, which I don't have a problem with. But I am so glad Washington's not in a world where they are bringing in guys like Sam Darnold.
That's all I can think about.
And guaranteeing them $55 million a year. Darnold last year ended up crashing and burning in a very public explosion. I mean, it was one of those like Michael Bay scenes of the car running into a wall and the flames going 100 feet up into some funnel, right? And it all happened on an offense where Kevin O'Connell, the coach of the year, is calling good plays. You got the best receiver in the league in Jefferson. You got Jordan Addison, who came into his own and played well. You got a great tight end who came back midway through the year in Hockenson. They finally ran the ball well and just re-signed their starting running back, Aaron Jones, who is fantastic, and it's a good O-line. If you couldn't make it work with that group, with a elite defense, with Brian Flores calling the shots on the other side of the ball, why is it going to be better in Seattle? Convince me, Seahawks fans, why this is a guy that can take you to the promised land if around him was a perfect situation and he loses a Week 18 game by playing like crap against Detroit, and then he cost them dearly against the Rams by holding on to the ball for an hour before he threw it.
This is not that situation. I mean, it just isn't. No DK Metcalf, no Tyler Lockett, who's not the same as he was a handful of years ago, but you got worse on that side of the ball in terms of security blankets. Kind of tells you what their agenda might be in the upcoming draft, to your point. But, you know, I like John Schneider. I like Mike McDonald, their head coach. But this is one of those, I'd love to see the forest for the trees here as to figuring out exactly what the plan was. Like, are they better today than they were 2 weeks ago? I don't think so, right? Then what are we doing? What's kind of the exercise?
Geno Smith to the Raiders. Sam Darnold starting over Sam Howell in Seattle with the Seahawks. They got younger, and they didn't necessarily spend a whole lot more. Maybe that's how they would couch it. We have a chance to have our starter for the next 5 years. Maybe they project more growth with Darnold. And with Geno, it is a dead end. It's this year and then probably nothing else. But the Raiders are trying to elevate to mediocrity. They're trying to get out of the embarrassing team tier.
Yep.
Where they're picking in the top five and finishing in last place. Look at what they did as a head coach. They didn't go get some hotshot OC play caller type who might come in there and be a 20-year head coach, Sean McVay style. They said, Pete Carroll, oldest coach in the NFL, come out of retirement and do the Ron Rivera thing. And I don't mean draft terrible players and hire all your friends to be bad executives. I mean, basically make us respectable in terms of the culture. Help us stop throwing up all over ourselves. And they did that as a head coach with Carroll, and I think they did that at quarterback with Geno, where they said, we don't want to do the Aiden O'Connell thing anymore. We'd rather not have Gardner Minshew start any games. So, Geno, you're a significant upgrade. Even if you're still, you know, a 15 to 20 quarterback in the NFL, why don't you come in here and just make us better in an important position? So I get what the Raiders are doing. I don't have to agree with it. But they're trying to go from like team 30 to team 19.
Yeah.
And then they'll reassess when they get there because Tom Brady doesn't do bottom five in the league. You know, the idea that they should just rebuild and be bad, I don't think he has that gear.
He won't allow that.
It's why I'm not sure that he's going to be a great executive, honestly, because you're better off being bad to be good quicker than you are spinning your tires and being okay. But sometimes these guys like Michael Jordan or Tom Brady, when they become executives, they won't allow themselves to be bad. They view any kind of step backwards as like you could never move forward.
Personal affront, yeah. I mean, what should be happening is you clear the deck, you have a bunch of young players and infinite salary cap space in a league where there's turnover necessarily. Like necessarily every year, 25, 30 roster spots change per team. You got a chance to be good pretty quick in this league.
Add a bunch of draft picks.
Yeah.
You know, flood your team with young talent and see where it gets you. But no, they're going a different direction. But there's the big breaking news, and that's the first big quarterback bombshell of the day. Sam Darnold, maybe not surprisingly after the Geno Smith trade, to Seattle to replace Smith as the starting quarterback, which means our guy Sam Howell continues to play backup QB2 with the Seahawks. By the way, they gave up a lot for Sam Howell. To have already decided, I guess, that he's going to be their backup quarterback for an extended period of time.
What was the price on that one?
Sam Howell?
Yeah.
They gave up a three and a pick swap.
Yeah. I don't know.
To have just, you know, he played very little and then immediately move on and never give him a shot? Like, you gave up way too much if your plan was always that he'd be your backup quarterback.
Yeah, but thank you. Again, we really appreciate it. Thanks so much for that. I'm glad you saw enough to warrant that kind of selection. But yeah, that's a peculiar one. Again, that makes me... that. To me, looks like a group that didn't really have a plan. That's like, let's see if this sticks to the wall. I don't love that.
All right, Commanders fans, here's where we're at today. Javon Kinlaw, the D-tackle, 4 years in San Fran, last year with the Jets, signing with Washington, their first big addition from outside the building of free agency, and it's a significant investment. 3 years and $45 million for a D-tackle who had a career-high 4.5 sacks last year and has not graded out traditionally well against the run, which makes this more curious. He was guaranteed $30 million in the $45 million deal to come over from the Jets to the Commanders, who have re-upped with Tressway and John Bates here recently. Also, Jeremy Chinn has a market. He's talking to several teams reportedly. And John Allen, who's now a free agent after being waived, is meeting with the Vikings today. But let's hit the phones. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. We want to hear your thoughts on the Kinlaw edition. Carl's in Calvert. What's up?
Hey, Gary and Dave. How you doing on the day that the commander signed Javon Kinlaw Day?
Die.
So Grant, Dave. I like the move. I'm gonna talk to the people who don't like the move for three reasons. One, expectation. Two, money. And three, fit. First of all, expectations in the Dan Snyder era where we were going to sign the biggest free agent, and I think that's what people are used to. And also, we live in the fantasy football culture where we really just wanted to get another offensive weapon. Two, the money. We already saw with Milton Williams getting $26 million that $15 million is pretty okay. And three, fit. I've been saying all offseason that Deron Payne's going to get traded. It's going to take till after the June 1 deadline, but they can eat $5 million in dead cap space and save $20 million. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if the Commanders had to eat a little bit of that $20 million, but I think that Deron Payne's going to get traded. I'll hang up to listen to what you guys have to say.
Appreciate you, dude. Thoughtful call. A couple things I like there. Again, there's an assumption, there has to be, because Adam Peters isn't stupid. Okay, he's really good at this. There's a bet pretty heavy going down that the $1 million in difference of savings by moving on from John Allen, there's a little bit of dead cap, I think it's around $6 million, and the $16 million savings that you're now basically saying, not in this pile anymore, it's now Javon Kinlaw's pile, that you were going to have a lot better production, right? Because it's a one-for-one swap. If it was you move on from John Allen and use that money first order of business for a left tackle, I'm just making that up, or a cornerback or a wide receiver, it's not always one-to-one, but this is the same position, the same scheme, the same design. So you're hoping for, you know, a fit that hasn't been there through Kinlaw's career at this stage. But if anybody's going to make that bet, it's someone who knows him, and it's Peters.
The Buccaneers have just made a move. Somebody check on Jay Gruden. He's going to be fired up. And I think he lives in Tampa, too, so this is a reunion of sorts. The Buccaneers and Samaje Perine.
Oh, let's go. Let's go, Jay.
3-year deal for $12.5 million for Samaje. Oh, man. Samaje is going to be making coin, baby. $4 million a year. I should say 3 years and $22 million, guaranteed $12.5 million. So he's actually making over $7 million a year.
Oh, man.
It's good to be Samaje Perine. Can we call Jay, please, and just check on him? Make sure he's doing okay after the big news. I mean, are they going to get a place together, bunk beds, more room for activities? He's coming to Tampa, Jay.
Oh, man.
Let's go to, speaking of Jay, Jay in D.C., what's up?
Hey, what's up, you guys?
Hey, buddy.
You guys are smart. I was hoping you guys could just let me know what's going on. Why aren't we signing our own guys? And why does Tressway only get a 1-year deal? And why did it take so long? I got to warn you guys, 100%, they're going to draft a kicker now. Like, unless there are barely any kickers in free agency, unless they bring Joey Sly back, which I hope they do, they're probably going to draft this. So I just want to know, how do you guys feel? Would you have rather had John Allen? I wanted Kinlaw, but I actually thought he was going to be cheap. So I'm, super confused right now. And then, you guys didn't talk about how, what's his name? Fowler was complaining on social media and
We haven't gotten there yet.
We haven't gotten to that yet.
And we're dealing with what's happened so far, but appreciate the phone call. For those of you that don't know, Dante Fowler was tweeting up a storm this weekend that he's tired of the disrespect.
Ew.
At one point, he had a deleted tweet, in fact, where he said basically he's got better numbers than the guy that you guys be. And then he said something that I can't say on terrestrial radio, but it has to do with riding and not a wave.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
Not particularly friendly.
Oh, no.
But then he deleted that tweet right away, and he basically said, the disrespect, I can't take it anymore.
Mm.
Which tells you a day before free agency he doesn't like the offer from Washington.
Yeah.
And maybe even, I don't know, but the market for him in general that his agent was hearing. Could they draft a kicker? Of course. Peters was in San Fran when they drafted Jake Moody in the third round. They don't have enough picks for that tomfoolery, as far as I'm concerned. If you want to draft a kicker, I will allow you to. It's got to be in the sixth or seventh round, presumably in the seventh, and you'd better have 12 draft picks. If you don't have double-digit draft picks, you're not allowed to draft a kicker. And right now, this moment, Danny, they've got six draft picks, and two of them are in the late seventh round. So you have four draft picks that matter. So if you want to use one of those late seventh round picks on a kicker, God bless you. But the other four cannot be a kicker on a football team where you are right now trying to still fill 24 spots of players that have walked out the door.
You got
to
fill some spots. And, you know, and one of them might be long snapper. Maybe you trade up for one of those guys. That's something that happened. Never forget. But to Jay's other point about Kinlaw, it's not that I want to be very clear. If you find Kinlaw in the same bin you found Cleveland Farrell or Dorrance Armstrong or even Dante Fowler, I mean, it's going to be more expensive than that. It's a different free agent market. Each year is its own thing. But if you'd found a way to have similar production at half the money, say, in terms of a cap hit, I'd go, wow, that's pretty sharp. This doesn't feel that way.
The Jets have a new starting quarterback. We'll tell you who it is next on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Justin Fields has a new home. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. It's free agency day in the NFL. We are live. We are purposefully not booking any guests that are going to take up a lot of time talking. We're going to grab a couple of people to react to news as we go, including somebody who covered the Jets last year to tell us about Javon Kinlaw for a few minutes right at the top of the hour. But we've got some room to run around here, let our hair down, and react to the news as it comes in all day long on 106.7 The Fan. We'll bring it to you first here on Grant and Danny. Justin Fields is the new starting quarterback of the New York Jets. The Jets are giving Fields $20 million a year. 2 years, $40 million, guaranteeing him about $30 million. He played in, I thought it was more, but 6 games last year for Pittsburgh.
It felt more than that, didn't it?
Definitely did. They went 4-2 in those games. He had 5 touchdowns and 1 pick. Look, it was kind of normal Fieldsian stuff. They really struggled to throw the football and didn't make many plays down the field. But he is a playmaker with his legs. He kind of elevates your floor in that he's a dual threat. You're not going to have a particularly good passing offense with him. But the Jets are in year one with Aaron Glenn. They're moving on from Aaron Rodgers. If you would have asked me 2 years ago, is there any chance Justin Fields would start games in week one for multiple teams over the next 2 years? I'd say no chance. But here we are. The Jets. No more Rodgers. It's Justin Fields' turn.
Yeah, the plan is to go from Aaron Rodgers to Justin Fields in the hopes of improving. So, good luck with that plan.
They're a joke of an organization.
Yep.
I think they're doing things better now, and I really want Aaron Glenn to succeed. But they've got a couple years of taking out a shovel and digging out of hell. I mean, they just have to. So many bad mistakes. The Rodgers thing set them back at least a year, probably 2 or 3. So the Fields thing now, this is the ultimate bridge, and you kind of see where you're at on the other side of these 2 years and $30 million. My guess is by next season, if not the end of this year, there's somebody in there competing with him. But the quarterback market now starting to spin.
Yep.
You've got Fields finding a home. You got Darnold. If you're just joining us, starting now in Seattle, got $100 million over 3 years. Marcus Mariota is not that far down the board here in terms of potential bridge options. Look at the Colts as a place where maybe he could go in and compete with Anthony Richardson. So he has not re-signed with Washington in the hopes that he might actually be able to go somewhere and play again.
That's one of the things we were, I don't want to say concerned about, but thought might be on the table, right? He did well enough in a short sample and kind of rehabilitated his image as a guy that walked out on the Falcons, and he was shouted out as a mentor, as a leader, as a guy that was great in the room and played well in a small sample. I mean, I would never do a bridge quarterback because I think that's a bridge to needing more bridge quarterbacks, but teams do that, and you could do worse.
Javon Kinlaw is the one big outside addition so far for the Commanders in this league year, which is almost 3 hours old. The former Jet and 49er D-tackle, 3 years, $45 million, 30 guaranteed. Adam Peters helped draft him in San Francisco at 14 overall back in 2020. Danny, give me a letter grade really quickly on 3 and 45 for Kinlaw.
C. It feels whelming. Like, I'm not angry. I kind of went, oh, all right, that's more than I thought for a guy that hasn't been that productive.
I'll say C-. If he struggles to stop the run, it's going to be a D. If he stops the run better than the book on him suggests, then it could be a B+. Let's go to Russell and Ashburn on Grant and Danny. What do you think about Javon Kinlaw right after they let John Allen walk? They save a little bit of money. They get younger, but a guy that doesn't have nearly as good a resume.
Grant and Danny, I'm not a football coach, but here's what I got. I think John Allen is one of the lighter D tackles in the league. He plays it around 280, 290. I read somewhere 265, but let's assume he's 290. Kinlaw gives you 30 pounds more. And I think what the Commanders D-line coaches might want to do is play heavier in those positions so they can attract more double teams. And that will leave the edges with more favorable one-on-one matchups. I'll give you why. Landon Dickerson is 333. Mekhi Becton, 364. Think about that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's who these guys have to go against if they need to make it back to the NFC Championship game. And I think John Allen was just not able to go up against the Eagle offensive line.
Thanks, Russell. So I think your theory is good. I'm not sure that I agree with it as being what is actually happening here. Allen's listed at 300 pounds, so I can promise you he wasn't playing anywhere at 265. Now, if you're saying you think it's closer to 285, I haven't put him on a scale and looked at the numbers, so I don't know. But he's listed in the same places where Kinlaw's listed at 320 at about 300 pounds. But the guy that they fell in love with last year, they kept playing more and more and more, that they signed from outside the building, was Sheldon Day. It was one of the smallest D-tackles I've ever seen in my life standing next to him. He's listed at like 280 and change. I would take the under on that. Johnny Newton, who they just drafted just outside of the first round, is listed lighter than John Allen. So my point is just the D-tackles that they've brought in here have actually been lighter than John Allen. Now, maybe there's a reverse of course here where they go, we need a
couple bigger bodies. Yeah, because they favored, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but they've favored the penetrating, bothering, one-gap scheme guys that disrupt stuff. That's what Dan Quinn and company have done. So the average yards per carry they're going to give up over his lifetime as a defensive coordinator, a guy that's in charge, are not great. But they don't care about that. They're there to stop you on first and 10 and make it second and 14, make you one-dimensional, then we turn you over. That's their program.
I like getting bigger. I got no problem with that. I care more about speed. Now, the D-line, you're not looking for speed, but I guess there you're looking for quickness.
Mm-hmm.
My point is just if that is the way they're going, it is a departure from what they were doing last year. If you guys want to hop in and let us know what you think they should do next, you can call us at 800-636-1067. Just a couple of developments here recently. The safety market's massive. Trayvon Morig from the Raiders got $17 million a year from the Panthers, and Cam Bynum, the longtime Viking safety, signed with the Colts for $15 million at 4-60. I bring that up because Jeremy Chinn clearly saw that coming.
Yeah.
And that's why he's on the market. So
opposite of last year. Remember how dry the safety market was
totally
last year? Yeah.
Very, very different this year. Clearly a player's market. And then corner, hot and heavy, as was the case day one of free agency last year. Carlton Davis has already gotten a deal, is off the board. DJ Reed of the Jets going to the Lions, $16 million a year, has gotten a deal off the board. So if Washington wants to pounce on a cornerback, next 24 to 48 hours might be the time to get that done if you want an A-lister. 800-636-1067. We'll keep the lines open as we react to all the moves in NFL free agency. Next, we'll check in with one of the members of the Jets beat who covered Javon Kinlaw last year. Is this someone who can help Washington stop the run or not? That's the question on Grant and Danny.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.